Hi, I'm Ryan Meeks, and after years of trying to make life work as a struggling artist, independent filmmaker, and musician, I thought to myself, hey self, wouldn't it be helpful to ask other artists how they're finding their path in this world? And so now, that's exactly what I'm doing on a bi-weekly basis. Welcome to The Path of Art. Okay, welcome to The Path of Art. I'm Ryan Meeks, and today we have Brett Wagner on the show. And Brett Wagner, he's known for many of his roles in some horror films, specifically Leatherface from the Chainsaw Massacre film. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Thank you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. What role do your fans recognize you the most from?
Well, as of late, it's been Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because I have the first kill in the movie. So a lot of the fans will call me the lost Leatherface from the 2003 remake. I did the first kill in the movie. I then got heat stroke and got hurt, and they didn't have time to wait for me to heal up, so they replaced me. But I've been the voice of Monster Garage on Discovery Channel and fill-in host for 20 years. I did a nice big movie, the horror movie, The Crazies, Nickelodeon, Sons of Anarchy. I mean, and for 30 years I've been acting. So, but a lot of the you know, Monster Garage, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Sons of Anarchy, that stuff is obviously done well by me. So,
And so has the horror genre been something you've been interested personally for your career?
Oh, yeah. So when I grew up, I used to, you know, sit in front of the TV and watch, you know, The Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits, George Romero's 1967 Night of the Living Dead, and then his 1978, Dawn of the Dead and Phantasm by Don Coscarelli. All that stuff is what I grew up on as a kid, and I loved it so much that I knew that I wanted to be an actor and get into horror movies. It just took me till I was like 30 years old. I started acting when I was 21. It took me till I was about 30 to start getting into doing some stuff with makeup.
And so what roles that you've played have you found most fulfilling in to you?
I mean, that just depends. I love, you know, my first movie I ever did was called Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams. And, you know, I got to sit there and film with Robin Williams, which was pretty incredible. You know, I love, I got to work on the TV show Mom with Allison Janney and them. I've done over 100 TV shows and films. But, you know, of course, I love doing the horror. I love being able to dress up and not dress up like in a dress, but dress up in a, you know, an outfit like Leatherface. Not that I'm opposed to wearing a dress if the role calls for it. I love put the makeup on, the prosthetics, and I love to get out there and scare people. So definitely the horror and science fiction stuff is great.
So you said you started around you're around 20 years old, and you started to see the roles that you wanted to get when you were about 30. So it's a good 10-year period. What would you say is kind of a normal day to day like in an actor's life such as yourself?
Well, back then, of course, when you first start acting, you got to have a night job, right? So I worked all the bars. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of actors in LA and around, you know, whether they're Atlanta or New Orleans, I mean, you got to have a night job because your days back in the day, because now you would audition during the days once you get an agent. So your days had to be free for you to go out and audition. And then somehow you got to pay the bills, because you can go and audition for 25 things and hopefully you book one, you know. So that's a long process. You know, it's either feast or famine. Then you can book stuff. It always happens. You book a TV show and then all of a sudden your agent says, hey, at lunch, can you get away? Because they want to see you for something else. And you're like, I can't get away. I'm working. But sometimes you don't have a choice. If you're working on a, you know, $100 million movie in LA, or you're working at Warner Brothers or Fox at the studios, you can ask the first AD, or if you know the director, you can say, hey, listen, at lunchtime, can I get away to go to this other audition? Usually it's, you can't do that. And I you don't try to rock the boat. You're lucky and you feel good when you get, any kind of acting gig. And, you know, like I said, for the first 10 years of my acting, I would get a little bit of work here and there playing a bad guy, a biker or a redneck or a killer and stuff. And then I'll tell you what changed for me is I started doing some pro wrestling at 30 years old and being able to work a crowd of, you know, 30 people in a little mom and pop, you know, backyard deal, and then go all of a sudden work 1,000 people in a big auditorium. You learn to work a crowd. So once I learned how to do that, my auditioning, going into a room where there might be a director and a casting director and a couple people, seemed to be a lot simpler. So working with a live crowd, and then you go into from the pro wrestling, and then going into a room with 5 people, I seem to have mastered that. So, but you know, with COVID, a lot of things change, and now we don't, you know, we don't go into audition for rooms. We do a self tape. You set the camera up, you do your stuff, and you send it into the casting director, which I think hurts. It hurts me because I'd rather be, you know, in there conversating with everybody, and because you get one chance then, right? Well, if you're in the audition with physical people there, they can say, "Hey, Brett, that's not how we want it. Can you change it?" When you send it in your self tape, you get one shot at it. You hope they like it.
There's just so much rejection in your field, especially now with COVID. Right? You can only send in one tape, and you can't control if you can turn that into a victory or failure or not. Just because
Absolutely.
It all depends on how well you did. How do you deal with that? How do you move forward from rejection?
Well, that's a good question. Acting is rejection, right? So you got to focus on other stuff. So as an entertainer, because I am an actor, but I'm an entertainer, right? So I've done radio shows. I do hosting. I've hosted a couple TV shows, a drag racing show on Speed Channel, the Monster Garage, doing the voiceovers. I've been the voice of a lawnmower company in Batesville, Arkansas for 20 years called Bad Boy Mowers. So you got to do everything, right? I mean, I'm 54 years old. I've even gone and filled in at the couple of the bars I used to work, just someone, you know, guys get an acting gig and they say, "Can you please come cover me at the door?" And I'm like, I'm too old to be working a door, but you do everything, right? So I learned a long time ago, if someone says, "Hey, can you do this?" You just say, "Yes, I'll try it." So if you're going to be an actor, get ready to, there is a, you know, you will be, rejection is the big deal. So you go in for 100, you know, like I said, if you can go in for 25, 30 things over a month and you book one of them, it's almost, that's a victory. So, but, you know, film is coming back big time all over the United States, and LA is no different. So there's a lot more auditions now. But with COVID, you also got a lot of people that never wanted to be actors that decided, "Hey, I'm going to go get some headshots and I'm going to get an agent." And so the market is flooded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's a lot of competition, is what I'm saying.
Right. It seems like there's a lot of people out there that, due to COVID, decided to follow their dreams. You know,
sure.
COVID kind of helped people think, what am I doing with my life? And am I enjoying my life? And I've seen a lot of artists and people in other fields just kind of go out and give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing too, right? Look at if you're going to be in this entertainment world, learn everything, right? Learn how to do a interview with somebody. I MC a lot. So I go to different events, bike events, truck. I got a big monster truck show coming up that I go and I MC on the mic with, you know. Where did I learn that? I learned that doing pro wrestling. I learned how to talk to a crowd of 1,000 people. So, you know, 5,000-6,000 more people is not a big deal. You learn to do everything, whether it's radio interviews, whether it's, you know, doing the weather on the news, which I've done before. It's all, it all works together. It's all a work in progress, and it helps you as an entertainer or as an actor.
Is there one skill that you would say is central to doing what you do?
Absolutely. And it's talking. It's not being afraid to say whatever. And, you know, I mean, I may not know about a subject, right? So I may not know about something, but you know, as an actor, I can pretend I do, or I can talk about anything. I'll figure it out. I mean, if you know how to talk, it doesn't matter. If you don't, if you're not comfortable talking, and I'm only comfortable in that scene, I'm going to memorize my dialogue. But when a director or a casting director says, hey, can you do it this way? Sometimes people are thrown off, and that makes the difference. You know, that's the difference between you getting a job and you getting kicked out of that room and they go to the next guy because they want to see that you can improv. So if you're good at improv, and that's one of the things, if someone wants to be an actor, that's a great class to learn with. Take an improv class because stuff comes at you fast, right? Director may say, no, do it this way. And if you are stuck in your head with the way you practiced it all for the 2 weeks and learned your lines and he throws that monkey wrench in there and you don't change it, then they'll get someone else to do it. So being able to talk about anything and not being afraid to talk to public, not being afraid to do an interview. I mean, I go over stuff. I talk to myself all the time going over lines and stuff. And my wife looks at me like she's figured it out now after 10 years that I'm just working on a promo or something in my head. So I've
dabbled a little bit in this area. I haven't done much. I've just done a few auditions before. And when I'm practicing, I just feel so weird. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like when you're talking to yourself in the mirror, did it take you a while to get over that? Is that like a normal thing to feel? Is that kind of like awkwardness when you're just saying your lines down in your basement?
No, not at all. But listen, I also, like I said, I've come from the world of professional wrestling. I loved professional wrestling. So you're cutting promos all the time. I'm going to be driving to a match that, you know, it's an hour and a half away, and I got to come up with a promo that I'm going to do to the crowd to talk about my opponent, you know, to get the crowd to boo me or cheer me. So acting is no different. I mean, you got to learn your lines and and be able to prepare to do it a couple different ways. And you also got to be, you can't be shy about it, because if you're shy about it in your house, you're going to be shy about it in front of when a casting director or someone is in a bad mood in that room and they may be a little angry, and you got to be able to, you know, just come in there, keep your mouth shut. And I'll give you an example. I used to audition. I never got a gig on Seinfeld, but I used to audition for it a lot. So when you get a call back, so we go in and initially you go and you read for the casting director and they say, great, do it just that way. We'll see if we can get you back in next week for the callback. The callback is when you go back in, the casting director's there, maybe some of the writers. So when you went in for Seinfeld, there's a table of 25 people sitting there and they're all talking and BSing, and Seinfeld's at the end of that table. Right. So there's 25 people in there, and it's so intimidating. Then all of a sudden they're still BSing. You just keep your mouth shut for 5 minutes. And then he goes, okay, are you ready? And you're like, yeah, let's go. So now you're reading, doing your stuff in front of 25 people staring at you. You know, 15 of those people are going to be the writers. Then there's Jerry Seinfeld. Then the casting director's there. So if you are not comfortable in your own shoes, you're going to screw up that audition. And might never be invited back, which is terrible.
And so, I mean, what happens when that does go down? I mean, that's a pretty rough thing to deal with, I would imagine.
Christian Slater's mom was a big, you know, Christian Slater, the actor. His mom was a big casting director. Mary Jo Slater, huge casting director. And Christian used to come to a bar called Jones Hollywood that I worked the door at. And he knew I was an actor. And he said, well, man, if you ever run into my mom, you tell her I said hello. Like an idiot, I go in for an audition. And she just yelled at somebody before me. And then she's like, next. And I moved out of the chair, go in. And I sit there and she goes, hey, how are you? Who are you? I said, Brett Wagner. What are you reading for? I said, I'm reading for the role of this football player. I said, by the way, your son told me, and she cut me off and said, are you going to sit there and tell me that my son told you to tell me hello? She's like, are you? And she yelled at me. She's like, that's not how you start off the audition, sir. And then I was frazzled. I was done. Wow. So it didn't matter what I prepared. I just got yelled at and chastised by one of the biggest casting directors in Hollywood. And she never brought me in for another 10 years. So,
wow.
Yeah. So sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut. Just do your, do what you've prepared. But then Hollywood is also about taking chances, right? So that just, you have to learn how to read a room. I will cut jokes in auditions. I'll say hello to people in auditions. I'll say, hey, it's good to see you. Been a long time. Thanks for bringing me in. But you got to know how to read the room. If you don't know how to do that, then just keep your mouth shut, do your audition, and hope you did well enough.
Right. Well, for those that are listening, Brett's going to be in town for a Fear Factory opening. It's opening this weekend, right?
I believe they opened up this weekend that just passed. This is going to be the second weekend. I'm so excited to be there, September 16th and 17th. You know, I hear this is, from what I've read and what I've looked at, this is a top 10 haunt, as we call it, in the United States. And, oh my God, six buildings, two underground passages. I don't know what underground passage is, but even me, it scares me. So I'm excited. I know they got over 100 haunt actors, you know, that are there to scare people. And that's pretty big. I mean, this thing, I guess, is six stories as well. I mean, you know, if you think of a haunted house, sometimes you think of like a one story, a place, and they'll have a graveyard, but six buildings, six stories, underground passages, 100 actors scaring folks. That's huge.
It is insane how big and how well done it is. Have you ever been to it?
Never been to it. I've always heard about it. So, you know, I look around obviously with the, I do a lot of conventions and I do a few haunts during the year. Obviously, September and October are big for all the different haunts and haunted houses around the United States. So I met the guys that run it up in Boise, Idaho at a different convention. And somehow I said, hey, man, I convinced them to bring me up. And I, you know, it's hey, listen, Leatherface is coming to Salt Lake City, Utah to Fear Factory. So we're going to be doing, you know, signing pictures. We're going to be in full costume, Leatherface costume from the 2003 movie that I was in. So it's going to be a big deal this weekend coming up. I'm pretty excited. So.
Well, it's going to be really cool having you there. And I think you'll be a really big attraction to get people there. I mean, it's already something that people go to all the time. It is always packed. I'm sure they're just going to be excited to see Leatherface in person.
I'm excited. Are you going to come down on the weekend?
Yeah. I talked with the folks down there and I'm going to be coming by and just saying hi and seeing a few things, seeing what new things they do. It's so cool because they do something new like all the time. It's fun to go and see like what have they added or what did they change, you know? And so it'll be good to just come down and say hi to you and also just check out the new stuff at the attraction.
You know, 11 years, this is their 11th year. So they've done something right. I mean, you know, haunts come and go. Their haunted attractions come and go. And to make 11 years is a big deal. So I'm pretty excited. Everything I've seen and heard about, you know, I'm pretty pumped. And, I'll also be going in and doing a little scaring myself with the whole Leatherface outfit. And I'm going to sneak in there on Friday night, the 16th. And we will do a little scaring on my own. But we'll be signing autographs each night. I believe we're going 8 to 11 both nights, the 16th and the 17th. So make sure you get your tickets, get there early, come say hello, take a look at the table and all the stuff we are going to have there. And be ready to be scared.
And that's what it's about, right? It's about just having fun and getting scared and just having that kind of fun, you know? We're going to go to a quick break here, and then I just have a few more questions for you afterwards. Sure. This has been The Path of Art with Brett Wagner, Leatherface. We'll be right back. I'm Ryan Meeks. I'm here with Brett Wagner. He was Leatherface. If you're into the horror genre, you would know exactly who that is. And he's going to be down at Fear Factory this weekend. And so we talked about you know who he is and what he's doing now. And I kind of want to get into where you came from and maybe lessons that you've learned, Brett. So what got you interested in acting like in the first place?
I mean, It's simple, right? Like I said before, I used to sit down and watch, you know, my parents would plop me in front of the TV, and Twilight Zone was one of my favorite TV shows, The Outer Limits. As I got a little bit older, I'd watch The Night Gallery, Rod Serling's Night Gallery.
So did you live in L.A. when you were young?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in San Fernando Valley, Northridge, California. So I'm in Los Angeles.
Were you also around a lot of acting, and did that have any role in your interest in it?
No, I wasn't around any acting. I mean, I started working the bars as a bouncer and security probably at, you know, 18 years old. So I would run into some actors, but I knew well before that. I knew as a kid that I wanted to get into acting, and that was just something I was going to do. My dad was a stockbroker. My mom worked at a school that I went to, which was terrible because whenever I got in trouble, I'd have to walk past her desk when I'd go to see the principal. But I definitely wasn't going to be a stockbroker.
Right.
You know, at the time with my size, it was easy to go work a bar and, you know, make your $75 cash a night. And I thought I was rich. And then, you know, soon slowly realized when I hit about 20 that I had to get into, I had to start thinking about something. And I got into an acting class, I think, when I was 20 or 21, and, you know, and just never looked back. And I mean, it didn't happen overnight. Obviously, I didn't start really making money until I was about 30 being an actor. And then I got to be the voice of Monster. I got into pro wrestling, which led to me doing a documentary called Wrestling School for Discovery Channel. And that producer, his name's Tom Beers, THOM. He's the executive. He created Ice Road Truckers, Deadliest Catch, you know, a slew of huge TV shows and hits. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, would you do your wrestling voice, your Big Swag voice?" That's my alter ego, the Big Swag, for this show I'm doing called Monster Garage with this bike builder, Jesse James. And I said, "Yeah, let's do it." And that opened many, many, many doors for me, because here I am, I'm on TV 7 days a week as the voice of a very popular TV show. And once in a while I would get on and host it, you know, when Jesse had his appendix burst or they needed some funny gag. And between that and the wrestling, I was starting to get a little bit known. And then eventually I figured I was a full-time actor then, or entertainer, and I quit working the bars. But I've gone back and forth and worked the bars, you know, just because when there's no acting work and we go on strike, you got to do something. So, but the voiceover definitely helped me. The show Monster Garage helped me, which got me into hosting some other gigs as the host. And it's a good thing. Like I said, if you can't talk and BS to a camera, then all those opportunities never would have opened up. But Monster Garage and being the voice of it definitely kickstarted me getting a lot more work. So
was there ever a moment in your career, because I mean, a lot of times, you know, we kind of feel, I don't know, I felt imposter syndrome before when I'm doing something and I'm just like, I'm doing this thing that I feel that's bigger than me, you know? But at a certain point, you kind of get over that. Do you remember when that happened to you? Or do you still feel imposter syndrome sometimes?
I think if you're not prepared for whatever the role is, sometimes I will. I remember the first time I went in, I did an interview for a radio show. I didn't interview. I went in, they interviewed me as the Big Swag from Monster Garage, and we're talking about pro wrestling. And the GM of the station, it was called Comedy World Network. And they came, and it was strictly on the internet until I got there. But they were doing all these big time comedians were on the show, had their own show on this network. And he said, "Hey, I listened to your interview, and that we'd love to, can you do a wrestling show?" And I said, "Can I do a radio wrestling show?" And I said, "Sure." And then all of a sudden I was like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do radio. Do I know enough about pro wrestling to do this? I mean, I'm in the business, but do I know enough about it?" But I assembled a few people together. We had a great, a guy that got me in there to do the one interview with these other comedians, and I wasn't a comedian, so to speak, but we started off, we called it Wrestling 101. I had, guys that used to answer my phone, John Cena used to answer my phone when the people would call in, and John Cena, you know, the WWE champion like 8 times, and now he's a huge movie star on The Peacemaker, by the way, which is the number one show in the world. Mm-hmm. With Robert Patrick, a good friend of mine, and Samoa Joe, who's a big wrestler, was on that show. So we did it for 2 years, and yeah, I was a little nervous. I would get nervous when we had guests on that I didn't know anything about. So the questions, what would you ask? And I still get nervous time to time when I do something, you know. But if you don't have the nerves, but if you can talk, you can BS your way out of anything. So I may not, like I said, I may get a little nervous, but I will BS my way through it. But it helps to be prepared. Obviously, that was the first time I really ever experienced something. I mean, I've been scared on a movie set before when I'm working with a big actor, Robin Williams, or, you know, I've worked with Scott Glenn. I've worked with some pretty big famous people, and sometimes you're in awe, but you snap out of it real quick. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to get on a TV show, and you're in the studios, I tend to, you know, they want you to stay in your dressing room and they want to know where you are. So when it's your time, you come out. But I make sure I go talk to the second AD or the first AD. And I say, look, I'm going to go sit over there in the corner, and I watch. So I love to watch other actors work. And if you're ever lucky enough to do that, just stay out of the way, you know, grab yourself a chair in the corner and watch these people work. It's a wonderful thing. And, I did an episode of 2 and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen when he was on it. And I got to watch these guys work, and Charlie Sheen and the rest of that cast, very small cast. They have like 5 people, but these guys would come in and just nail it. It was so awesome to watch them work, and then be able to get to work with them is, you know, is just the icing on the cake.
What would you say is the most important thing that someone just starting out in acting should focus on?
I would think, I got to be honest with you, I think improv. I mean, if you're not in an improv class, I mean, look at people still. I mean, Robert Patrick, who's a very famous actor, T-1000, you know, Terminator 2, he was the liquid cop. He's on Peacemaker. He's in hundreds of movies, and I think he still has a coach that if he gets a big role, he goes and studies. You know, you got to study. So you know, people think, well, once you get to that point, you don't need to study anymore. And it's a craft. It's like anything. It's like going to the gym. Like when I'm done with you, I got to go to the gym, I got to lose weight. It's consistency. So if you don't work that, if you're working every week on a TV show and a sitcom, that's great. You're getting that work in. But if you don't, if you're like every other actor, you know, 99% of the actors, we don't get to do that. So, you know, being in a class, being in an improv class is going to help you working with other actors. So when the time comes, you know, and you do get a good acting gig and you're sitting across from Al Pacino, you're not freaked out. You're going to be freaked out, but you're not going to be, you're prepared, you know?
You'll be able to handle it a lot better.
You'll be able to handle it a lot better. And then afterwards you say, Al, can we get a picture together, you know? But yeah, so some kind of class, that's the best thing to do. And just keep, if you're doing theater, that's great. You know, a good friend of mine, when I started acting, I used to work a bar called Smalls. It was one of the very famous bars in Hollywood, little dive bar. I worked the door, and a guy named Mark Ruffalo was the bartender. And Mark, who's obviously very famous and a wonderful actor, he's the Hulk, and amongst other things, all the movies he's done, he was doing plays. And I never got into the plays. I said, no, I'm an actor. Who wants to do plays? Well, if you look at all the people that are making the big money today and that are still working, theater was one of their big things. So even if you're in theater, even if it's a college play, if you're in the local theater, you're still working, and you're consistently, you know, working your craft, what you need to do.
So Brett, what's next for you? I mean, you're coming to Utah, but, and of course there's probably NDAs on stuff that you're working on. So definitely don't talk about that. But is there anything that you can talk about that you want to share want people to know that you're on?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple independent movies, a movie called The Grind. which is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan film. I'm also doing a movie called The Evil 3 in October in Chicago with a really good up-and-coming director, C.J. Vecchio, which is another kind of... It's The Evil 3. It's Leatherface, Michael Myers, and Jason all in the same movie. So, yes. And they all escape on the same night. So that's going to be an interesting movie. And then I have a movie, you know, I audition, right? So I try to stay busy. So I do make appearances all over still, you know, whether it's bike rallies, monster truck gigs, or, and that all comes from being, have done everything from the Monster Garage to hosting a drag racing show. So I can go find other gigs to pay the bills. And of course, my wife, you know, my wife does payroll for Warner Brothers. So she's the one with the steady gig. So I married smart. So if you're an actor and you can marry smart, do it. But yeah, I got a movie called El Tonto that hopefully they're going to release this year. We filmed it 2 years ago with Charlie Day, Ray Liotta, Kate Beckinsale. I played John Malkovich's limo driver and bodyguard. That's, you know, I sat there for 3 days watching John Malkovich work on the set, which is just, it blows your mind. So hopefully El Tonto will get released, because that'll be a big deal for me. You know, that's a huge cast, and to just even have a little part in it, it's always a nice thing. But yeah, as an actor, entertainer, you just keep moving along, and hopefully you get more acting gigs and you can pay your bills.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all the information, all the advice. For those of you listening, I hope that this was helpful for you, for your acting journey, for whatever you're going on. And Brett will, again, be down at Fear Factory in Salt Lake
this weekend.
Make sure you go see him. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Brett. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. This is The Path of Art.
Thank you for listening to The Path of Art. If you or someone you know is creative and would like to tell your story, reach out to me at rmeeks@ksl.com. I might feature you on the show. If you liked our conversation, please make sure you follow the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. It really does help people to discover the show. Also, make sure you follow The Path of Art podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.